So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state, and flipping the state is a great testament to our country.
So this is off the phone call that was leaked to the press that probably nobody expected would be recorded, but yeah, that does happen. I have said all day, I think this is really bad. This is a bad look. And if, you know, somebody else, a Democrat, had said, find me 11,000 votes so we can flip an election, the people who are sort of turning a blind eye would have lost their minds about that. Joining us, and so that's kind of been my take on this thing. I don't think it's effective. I think it's counterproductive, and it worries me about the kind of the look at the very least. Joining us now, we have Congressman Matt Gaetz. He is our congressman from U.S. District 1. A lot of stuff to get to. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrew. And I was asked about this last night, and my reaction is that the secret recording play on Trump doesn't really work because he says so many of the things publicly that he says in private.
Right.
You know, I mean, stream of consciousness Trump is the Trump we're used to. And I don't take his comments as, like, you know, go find 11,000 votes illegally, 11,000 votes that didn't exist, but essentially, you know, find the way to reorient the race to what many of us believe reflects the actual human beings who voted. I mean, the key math in Georgia is that typically you get about 3 to 3.5% of the mail-in ballots jettisoned as a consequence of the lack of a signature match. As a consequence of this consent decree and some other decisions that were made in the election process, that was driven down to 0.3%. And so just that variation in the rejection rate could seemingly be enough to impact the election. And so, you know, I'm not as taken perhaps with that call as.
Yeah, I can understand that. By the way, are you still there, Matt? Because it sounded like we lost you for just a second. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, perfect. No worries.
I do have some feedback, but I'm here.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, so I agree. I think in his sentiment, he's not saying just change the votes. It's just that way of saying it and then making this repeated call. And, of course, as you say, he has said all of this most of this in public essentially before, which kind of brings me to the then what's the consequence question, because the vote that you're going to participate in on Wednesday to certify in the House, and then, of course, it looks like we've got, what, one, maybe two, now maybe 10 or more senators are going to object. People are wondering, who maybe aren't clear in this process, what will actually happen on Wednesday when the challenge is brought forward to the certifying of the Electoral College?
Yeah, and first, I think it's important to note that for all the folks on CNN calling us seditious traitors, this is not an unusual activity.
Right.
A Republican president has not been sworn in absent some Democrat congressional challenge to electors since 1989, you know, and somehow the union held. So what will happen is you'll have a House member and a senator present in writing an objection, and we're going to use exactly the same objection language that Stephanie Tubbs Jones, the Democratic congresswoman from Ohio, and Senator Barbara Boxer used in 2005 to object to the counting of Ohio's electors following George W. Bush's defeat of John Kerry. We'll make that objection. Then the House and the Senate will convene as separate bodies to hold a debate that constitutionally cannot last more than 2 hours. So this won't be a thing for days and weeks. It'll be a pretty long day, but there'll be a debate not to exceed 2 hours over the validity of those electors. And, you know, then it's my expectation that a slate of electors will be accepted by Vice President Pence, and that there'll be no delay in the government that is inaugurated on January 20th of 2021. And so, you know, I think that the debate is useful because we learn things from these contentious moments. And look at Florida. Our election process was a joke. We had these, you know, forever elections going on down in South Florida, the hanging chads, the ballot machines that didn't work. And if we'd have just lived in a state of denial and said, there's nothing wrong here, there's nothing we can improve on, well, then maybe we'd still be having those problems. But because we had the debate, because we made the changes, now Florida's election is clean, reliable, and the people accept the results that are offered. And so if we're able to have debates that cause changes, that reduce the frequency of some of these consent decrees, that expose some of the frailties in universal mail-in balloting, then I think that can be a healthy thing for our democracy, not something that, you know, the liberal media would breathlessly exclaim as anti-American somehow.
Yeah, I think it was Tapper, Jake Tapper, yesterday called it a bloodless coup. And I'm like, you're a little bit ahead of yourself in terms of we're just running through the process that has been done many times, as you say,
it's
lawfully.
It's a debate.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's literally just a debate. And I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's going to, you know, be a debate that results in a change in which electors are slated because of the practicality of Democrats holding the House and a number of Republican senators seemingly joining the Democrats' effort on that side of the Capitol.
Yeah, and again, I agree with you that I love to see information come forward. I don't mind a debate. That's part of the Democratic process. Until that process is thwarted, then you start talking about undermining democracy. But at the moment, we're just doing what we've done many, many times before. I did want to ask you one thing. Yesterday, you guys got sworn in again, and you had a vote for the Speaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi won, but I'm calling it the plexiglass election. Can you tell people what happened yesterday?
Well, Nancy Pelosi is dealing with a razor-thin margin, and there were some members who were COVID positive or had recently been exposed to someone COVID positive, and Nancy Pelosi needed their votes. So she built a plexiglass bubble in the House gallery where the visitors usually sit, where members could go and cast their vote for her. And you know, I shared with some of my colleagues, like, Nancy Pelosi won't even let people address the House without a mask on, even people who, you know, can't transmit COVID because they've already had it or they've got the antibodies. You know, they still have to wear a mask. But if Nancy Pelosi needs the vote of someone to retain power, I mean, she would kiss them on the mouth if they had COVID. And if their comorbidities were like Ebola and swine flu, it wouldn't bother her. So, you know, I mean, I think this is where power and the lust for it meets practicality. And so, yes, there is a hermetically sealed bubble that is in the House gallery where if you have COVID, you can still go and cast your vote.
I'm thinking of some kids game like Trouble or something where they just pop up in the middle of the bubble when the die is needed and they cast their vote. And somehow that's how you get to be the Speaker of the House. It's wild times. We're talking to Matt Gaetz. He is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Congressman, the other big story, obviously, is tomorrow. And I know you've been very involved in this. The runoff election in Georgia. The future of the Senate is essentially at stake in this election. What do you see happening? I mean, is there any prediction worth making that can be made?
Yeah, I'm going to be straight with your listeners. I'm very concerned about the Republicans' chances in Georgia. I have done some digital campaigning there. We've sent a lot of Floridians up into South Georgia. And, you know, there is not a majority, but not an insignificant number of Republicans who just say, look, you know, we don't feel like the voting system is reliable. We don't really see our senators fighting for us the way we want to, and so we may not vote. And, you know, I'm doing everything I can to encourage everyone to vote. I mean, I think everyone should vote whether they want to vote for my candidates or not, because I think that is a strong show of democracy. But certainly those who want to stave off the impacts of socialism that I think very much could be upon us if Democrats have unified control of the government need to make sure that they cast their ballots. So I am not as optimistic about Georgia as some other Republicans. I think that the governor there has not unified the party behind him and behind a common sense of purpose. And so I think it could be a big night for the Democrats.
Yeah, and I mean, you're also going to sort of maybe finally get a test case of whether Americans believe in divided government or not. You know, there's always this allegation like Americans vote to divide government to keep it from being functional and thwart power. But I've never believed that Americans vote that way. I don't think they think it through that same way. But this will be an indication of that. If Georgia anyway wants a divided government, they can have it, or you know, we can avoid it. The big news for you is a big congratulations. You have decided that you're going to become a Mr. to a Mrs., right?
That's right. I'm engaged to Ginger Lucky, my girlfriend, I guess now fiance, and I'm excited. I'm 38 years old. I've never been engaged before. I'm excited about marriage ahead, and it just changes the investment you have in the future. You know, when you really have a strong family and that type of devotion in your life. So I'm blissfully happy, and I wish the same love and happiness to everyone.
How long have you guys been dating?
You know, we started hanging out in March, so it's been a pretty whirlwind romance. And COVID does that, man. When you're locked inside with somebody for a long period of time, it either accelerates the love or maybe it accelerates the determination that you might not meant to be together. But it's definitely COVID love in my circumstance.
And yeah, you said you've known each other for a while. Was there a meat story? Is there a cute meat behind all this?
You know, I actually knew her brother and her mom. Her brother is the founder of Oculus, and her mother is very politically active. So I knew the two of them for some time, just because they were involved in, you know, policy issues around technology that I was interested in. And Ginger, my fiance, is not a political person. She's a financial analyst for a food company. And she palled around at actually an event at Mar-a-Lago, and I met her there and was able to propose to her at Mar-a-Lago, right about the spot where we met.
Oh, that's really cool. And by the way, as a guy who comes from a family of redheads and married a redhead, I'll say you can never go wrong marrying a ginger. So that's good stuff. Last thing, it would be rude of me not to share this. I was digging through some old Jimmy Fallon that I had on my DVR that I had never watched. And for whatever reason, I managed to stumble upon last December, like a year and a couple of weeks ago, Jimmy Fallon had this to say, in which he mentioned a local congressman.
Guys, it's the end of the year, and people are already thinking about their New Year's resolutions, and that includes people in Washington. We actually got a hold of some of them, and they're pretty interesting. I'll show you what I mean. For example, here's Congressman Matt Gaetz. His New Year's resolution is to continue my secret side job as the mascot for the Patriots.
I feel bad that I never heard this happen before. I assume you had already known that you were featured on Jimmy Fallon about a year ago, and if I know you, you took it as a bragging right.
Oh, no problem. Hey, listen, you know, I'm outspoken, and I'm eager to always participate in the fray, so I never mind a little mention on late-night comedy time, but, you know, maybe it'll be a different New Year's resolution this year.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, Matt, you are our congressman. Matt Gaetz, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Again, congratulations on getting engaged. Happy New Year. I didn't talk to you before, but Merry Christmas, and thanks, as always, for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.